सीताराम लक्ष्मण हनुमान की जय। सो रामनवमी फेस्टिवल इज ओनली 1.5 days नाउ। दिस ईयर 2013 रामनवमी इज फॉलोइंग ऑन 2 days, 2 calendar days। इज 1 तिथि ओनली, बट बिकॉज चैत्र शुद्ध नवमी इज बिगिनिंग फ्रॉम टुमारो आफ्टरनून समटाइम्स टिल द नेक्स्ट डे लेट मॉर्निंग। सो रामनवमी इज सेलिब्रेटेड दिस ईयर फॉर बोथ द डेज। एनी वेज समबडी हैज टू डिसाइड ऑन सम डेज। सम पीपल आर सेलिब्रेटिंग ऑन 19th एंड सम आर सेलिब्रेटिंग ऑन 28th। बोथ आर राइट बिकॉज नवमी इज द डे ऑफ बर्थ ऑफ लॉर्ड रामचंद्र। इट टुक बर्थ एट अबाउट नून टाइम। सो इवन टुमारो नून इज ऑल्सो फाइन एंड डे आफ्टर नून ऑल्सो इज फाइन। बोथ आर फाइन। सो दिस इज द टेक्निकल सिचुएशन, बट फॉर अस वॉट मैटर्स इज द ओनली द अपियरेंस ऑफ द लॉर्ड। दैट इज मोर इम्पॉर्टेंट दैन द टेक्निकलिटी। टेक्निकलिटी इज इम्पॉर्टेंट सो दैट वी कैन एक्सप्रेस अवर हार्ट एट अपॉर्चून टाइम, बट दैट डजेंट मेक एब्सोल्यूट डिफरेंस। इवन इफ यू सेलिब्रेट रामनवमी ऑन 25th ऑफ और 30th ऑफ अप्रैल, डजेंट मेक मच डिफरेंस बिकॉज अल्टीमेटली मैटर ऑफ हार्ट। ऑल द डिवोटीज दे सेलिब्रेट द बर्थ ऑफ द लॉर्ड एवरी सिंगल डे। How is that? How the devotees are celebrating birth of the Lord every single day? By chanting the holy name of the Lord every single day. The Lord appears in their heart. So this is the birth of the Lord. So for devotees, every day is a festival. The day you chant the holy name, there is a festival. The day you celebrate the beginning of the day, the chanting of the holy names, that's a festival. Festival means happiness, bliss. Festival means service. Festival means pleasing everybody. Festival means pleasing oneself also at the same time. So that's how Lord Ramchandra's appearance is so significant, is so important in our lives. Although our society is called as International Society for Krishna Consciousness, but there is no difference between Krishna and Ram. There is no difference between Vaman and Narsingadev and Ram and Krishna. They all are same personalities. At one time in Mayapur, devotee had a question whether Narsingh Bhagwan is same as Radha Madhav. He had a technical question in the mind. Are they same or different or upper or lower or higher or lower? So next day when he got up and took darshan, he saw Madhav's face on Narsingadev and Narsingadev's face on Madhav. So he was like bewildered, you know. Confused. Again he saw the same things. It was Lord's very special. What is happening? Hey, coffee, na? It was Lord's very special mercy on him. That Lord revealed to him that I am not different. It's only different form at different times, with different purpose I have appeared. So similarly, the same personality who took the bow and arrow in Treta Yuga, the same personality took the flute and came in Dwapar Yuga, and the same person took a danda and kamandalu in Kali Yuga. The beautiful shloka, no? Keho Purabe Ravan Madila Golokera Vaibhavlila Prakash Korila. Same personality who came with bow and arrow to kill Ravan. Purabe means in the past, Purve. And same person came in Dwapar Yuga to manifest Golokera Vaibhav Lila, all the loving pastimes of Golok Vrindavan. He came down to exhibit over here. And in Kali Yuga, same person took sannyas, took danda and kamandalu, and went everywhere to preach the holy name of the Lord. So one is Ram Lila, that is Maryada Purushottam Lila, or you can say Maryada Lila. One is Purna Purushottam Lila or Madhurya Lila. And another is Audarya Lila, the Lila of munificence, Lila of Audarya, Udarta. He left everything, but he only remained Udar. And without distinction, he distributed the love of the Lord to everybody without any bhedbhav or distinction or, you know, differentiation. So as Maryada Purushottam, the Lord established how one should conduct oneself. As a father, as a son, as a brother, as a king, or as any other role that we have to play in lives. Everybody has to play so many roles. So in Ramayana, you will find exact guidance for you. How one should conduct in a particular situation, you will read Ramayana, you will find a solution for that. Specifically, I feel from the management point of view, all difficult decision-making situations, you will get answer in Ramayana. Ramayana also is filled with so many difficult decision-makings, you know. What time to do, what should we do, and what we should not do. So many times all of us are stuck up with this question, no? At our life, in our life situations. So Ramayana is a perfect situation. For example, in Ramayana, Lord Ramchandra also has told that one should pay the salary of the employees on time. This is in Ramayana. Don't think these are all made by government policy makers here. Even in Quran it is mentioned that to all the subordinates salary should be paid on time. Now such kind of details are there in Ramayana. Every single thing is there in Ramayana. What you and me need to understand sometimes and we have difficulty in following what to do, those explanations are in Ramayana. So that's why Ram is Maryada Purushottam. Maryada means all the ideal behavior that one is expected to conduct oneself in is exhibited by Lord Ramchandra in his life. While Sri Krishna is little different. Sri Krishna is very difficult to understand many times. Why he does so many things and the way he does things also. Why he steals butter. Why he plays with so many women in the middle of the night. Why he lifts Govardhan. Why he does so many things that are objectionable. Because he is Purna Purushottam. He is exhibiting the Supreme Personality of Godhead in full. Every opulence, every unbelievable, unfathomable opulence that he has, he exhibits over here. Every contrast situations, he exhibits over here. For example, he is at the same time dancing very beautifully at the hoods of Kaliya. At the same time, Kaliya is experiencing thunderbolt, aghat on his heads. How it is possible? He is experiencing pain of death at every step of the Lord. And the gopis are enjoying every shape of the Lord as a most artistic exhibition of somebody's beauty of dancing. And the demigods in the sky also are wondering, what kind of steps are these? What kind of rag is this? What kind of music is this? They are also wondering what's happening. So they are experiencing some different artistic experience. And Kaliya and his wives are experiencing something like death and life situation. This is contrast. Right? Same personality lifts Govardhan and kills Aghasur and kills Bakasur and so many big, big personalities who are demigods are trembling in their name also. The same personality, when the clouds are thundering in the sky, comes running in the mother's lap. Mama, I'm feeling very scared. Why this is, what is happening in the sky? The same personality who is killing Aristasur, mountainous bull-like demon, when he's not getting butter, he's passing urine in the house of gopis. So contrast, you know. So much contrast is there. Very difficult to understand. Even Nanda Maharaj also has difficulty in understanding. Others are saying, your son is very great. He is lifting Govardhan. It's called Vismay Leela. Vismay Leela means Leela of surprise, you know. Achamba. They are very surprised. Sare, how a child can lift? He must be a demigod. He must be a incarnation of God. He must be Vishnu himself. Or he must be Rishi. Or he must be a Siddhatma with lot of opulences and lot of mystic powers. Nanda Baba is laughing, laughing and laughing and laughing, and he laughed so much that he fell on the ground from the chair. And still he continued laughing and he rolled on the ground. And looking at him laughing, everybody laughed and they also fell on the ground. This is Leela in Chaurasi Khamba in Nanda Bhavan. Why? You are saying he is demigod? He is God? He is simply passing urine in the house of gopis. When he doesn't get butter, he puts water in the eyes, ears of our sleeping children. He pinches them. Are these qualities of demigods? Do you feel that this is quality of a rishi? Or he is so parakrami, so much chivalrous. Why is he getting scared with the clouds thundering in the sky? So his vatsalya, his fatherly affection, covers all the great aspects of personality of Krishna. And he feels he is my child. don't consider him as devata or anything. He's simply my child. And I love him. And so he laughs and laughs and laughs at others making this kind of comments on him. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is simply giving mercy to everybody. His job is not to look at anybody's bad or good qualities, any disqualifications or qualifications. His job is just to give love. With the only simple cost of little faith, he wants to give you not only his holy name, but the love that he experiences with gopis in Golok Vrindavan, that he wants to give you. Free of cost. That is audarya. That is something different. That is very difficult to understand how the Lord can be so merciful and munificent. Lord Ramchandra is relatable to every common man. Common man can relate with him and understand what's happening, the way he conducted himself. He also had so many opportunities like Krishna, in one sense, to exhibit his full opulence. He went to Dandakaranya and so many rishis were performing tapasya there. And they had already attained the Madhurya Ras as an achievement in their life. As soon as they saw Lord Ramchandra, although in tree bark, although with matted hair, although in barefoot, although sleeping in the Parnakuti, with no opulence of king, still he was so attractive and so beautiful, they felt that personification of Kamadev has appeared. Or millions of Kamadev gathered together in beauty as manifested in one personality. And their bhav of Madhurya, like gopis, arose, although they were in male bodies. And they came to Lord Ram and they said, "Oh Lord Ram, can you accept us as Mother Sita, as your wives, as your consorts? We want to experience that bhav with you and serve you in that bhav." So what Lord Ram said? Lord Ram said, "Not this time. This is not the right time. I have come for different purpose this time. But I will not let your feelings go in vain. I will respect and honor your feelings. When I will come as Krishna, you will become gopis." So those gopis are called as Rishi Chari gopis. They were the gopis who were rishis in Dandakaranya, and they became gopis in Nanda Baba's village. Then there are some other gopis. When Lord Ramchandra was so beautiful and so attractive, when he went to Mithila, you know the story, how he broke the bow and won the hand of Sita. So that time many Mithila Vasini ladies also were attracted to him, and they also expressed their heart to him. So he said, "When I will come as Krishna, you will come as gopis." So like that, there are maybe hundreds of types of gopis who are there in Vrindavan. Some of them were Vedas, personifications of Vedas. They said, "Oh my Lord, our knowledge is only very meager knowledge, only Siddhanta is there. We cannot know you through our knowledge. Whatever knowledge we are propagating through Vedas, your personality cannot be known. So what is our fate? What is our liberation? How we will get liberated?" So the Lord said, "Don't worry. You will become gopis in Nanda Baba's village." So those gopis performed Katyayani Vrat at the bank of Jamuna. And those gopis were allowed to enter into Raslila on the fifth day after that. And those gopis only, the clothes were stolen. And then after that, Leela of Chirharan Leela, on the fifth day, they were allowed entrance in Raslila. So how Lord Ramchandra had so many opportunities to behave as Supreme Lord, but he restricted himself and gave opportunity to all those loving devotees in his next incarnation. So what is the message for us? Whatever you feel for the Lord, you may feel, "Now I am not getting response. Why?" But have faith that Lord will respond to you in the course of time. The rishis must have thought, "Why not now? Now you are ripe enough for your loving devotion. Why you are depriving us now?" No, you have to wait for the right time to come. Because when you hurry up prematurely, things then may not be as good as you expect. They may not be the way you actually expect. So Krishna waits until he gives you a best environment in which he can give you best experience the way you deserve. So that's why even though we made rishis wait for one full yuga, because it was in the end of Treta Yuga, and they came all as gopis in end of Dwapar Yuga, another full yuga had passed. But still, he gave them exactly what they deserved. So the story of Lord Ramchandra is very purifying for all of us. There was a time not much far from now, in my childhood also, in every village, every evening, everybody would gather and listen to Ram Katha. It's a very common episode. But our dear television has come and stolen everything away from us. Exactly the villagers tell, like my god brother's Madhavanand Prabhu's father tells, ki till television came in 1973, when we were in school, first time TV came, Doordarshan, only evening 6 to 9. That is the time devotees in villages would come together and listen to Ram Leela. And when that came, the crowd attending the Ram Leela sessions were reduced and they were all glued to the idiot box. And then onward TV expanded its hands and legs for 24 hours. So that culture vanished. But even today also in some villages the culture is still there. People go to the fields, come back home, gather, take bath, come back together and listen to Ram Leela. So nourishing, the full day's rest will be released when you hear about the Lord. When you hear about the Lord, your bhagya arises. You know? Your fortune is in creation. Fortune is made, ready-made for you. And life becomes very happy and successful and blissful in the middle of all the stresses that you have. So you de-stress yourself completely, then do aarti, take prasad, and the sweet memories of the Lord, go to sleep. Get up next morning, chant the holy name before sunrise, go to the work, come back again, hear Ram Leela. So beautiful life. There's no triangular series, or pati patni or wo, stressing yourself, saas kabhi bahu thi, how sasu is harassing the bahu and bahu is harassing sasu. So much stressful episodes, you know. They're already stressful, they're adding to your stress. That was not true. It's all unimaginable, you know, inconceivable stories which are made by the karmi people in the world. But Ram Leela is so pure. Anybody, even if you don't have faith in the Lord, say you don't have faith in the Lord, still you hear as stories, na, it'll be happy experience for you. Because stories, though, even if we hear story of Vikramaditya and Vetal, still it becomes a good experience for us. The story is a story. Who doesn't like to hear a story? Right from Abala Vriddha, right from time you understand till you don't hear anymore because of the old age. Everybody likes to hear stories. So philosophy is very difficult to digest, but stories welcome anytime. Similarly, one has to develop the taste for the holy name, holy story of the Lord. Taking away the taste for the tastes in the world, stories of the world, who is doing affair with whom, which star is going with whom and dating with whom. These are our, why we take interest in that? Because we don't have true loving stories to hear. So we want to hear these perverted stories of love to hear. Which star is going with whom? But you want to hear love story? Hear love story of Sita and Ram. Hear love story of Radha and Krishna. The real love story will satisfy you and give you the ideal. What is the meaning of love? Not that I don't like you don't like me, I leave you. It is said that love at first sight, like love at first sight and divorce at first fight. Everything based on body and experience and selfish motivations, right? I like you, so I love you. You fight with me, I leave you. That's it, simple. This is the philosophy of today's world. But our soul is not like that. Our soul needs eternal love, permanent love, satisfying love, fulfilling love. That is our need. Whether you're a man or a woman or a child or a dog or a cat or a bird, the need is that love that we are hankering for. And that need is fulfilled when we hear of the Lord. So, Dasharatha Maharaj was such a great, devoted, powerful, chivalrous king, virtuous king, that by his virtue, by his power of Kshatriya nature, by his opulence and by his chivalry as Kshatriya, Shani could not have its effect on Ayodhya. Can you believe this? Shani is such a powerful personality, no kingdom on earth is spared by him. However, whatever you are, Shani Dasha has to come. Anyway, I will not go in details of Shani, how Shani affects, but Shani's effect is a must. In your life as individual, in a life of society as society individual, or a nation, or a country, Shani effect has to be there. And by the way, Shani doesn't do anything bad for anybody. He just puts you under some tests, tempting you to do some nefarious activities or some wrong activities in anger or frustration. This tempts you. But if you are well placed and well situated, you will go through it nicely and not fall down. The father used to always say that Shani doesn't do anything bad to anybody. Shani just puts you under stress and actually purifies you and actually prepares you and strengthens you if you are in right state of mind to accept it the way it should be accepted. One cycle of all the stars ended and Shani couldn't do anything. Next cycle came, Shani's turn came, Shani did not go. So much virtue was there. Third cycle came, so Shani thought, no, I must do my duty. So he came to affect. Now his effect is not like that. He will come in person and throw some stones and throw some heat like that. No, it's a very subtle effect. Everybody has Sade Sati means very difficult period, you know, in life. So before he entered, Dasharath came to know that Shani is coming. So immediately he rode on chariot, took his sena behind and charged and challenged Shani. No, you first fight with me and then you can come. And there was a very fierce fight, extremely fierce fight, that all the demigods gathered in sky to watch. The fight was sometimes on earth, sometimes on water, sometimes in space, sometimes in different locations, but they were fighting so fiercely and chivalrously that nobody was like winning or losing. At one point of time, Shani threw an astra on Dasharath. The Dasharath fell unconscious and he tumbled from his chariot from the skies, and with swiftly, with the power of gravity, he was falling on the ground. At that point, his friend Jatayu, you know Jatayu, no? He is a vulture, devotee in the body of a vulture. He was so huge, like mountain, you know. When he spread his wings, they were like covering nations. So vast he was. Suddenly, when he saw Dasharath Maharaj tumbling down, falling on the ground, he just went with higher speed than gravity below him, spread his wings and caught him. Very gently he received him on his wings and very gently he brought him down to the ground, unconscious condition, and nursed him. And then brought him to consciousness. Soon as he came in consciousness, he said, "Where am I? Why am I here? Where is Shani? Take me over. Who brought me over here?" He's a veer. He's a kshatriya. He doesn't want to be off the battlefield. Either he will die or he will win. He will not come back like that only from battlefield. So, Shani, Jatayu explained to him what all happened. He said, "Quickly take me back to the situation of war." So he again was brought in front of Shani. And Shani Maharaj was so impressed that somebody who can get hit by my astra can come again and stand in front of me to fight, to challenge me. What a chivalry. So he said, "Bas, war ended here. I don't want to fight anymore. I am too impressed with you. I promise you that I will not affect your kingdom." That was the glory of Dasharath. So when this boon he received, he was very grateful to Jatayu and he said that whenever I will get first son, I will give him to you. That was the promise he made. Such a big promise. Huh? And you know, Dasharath and Raghuvamshi kings, they were not ordinary people that aaj kuch bol diya, kal bhul gaye. Long time between he said that and actually Ram was born. There was too much time in between. Because that time Dasharath was very young actually. By the way, Dasharath did not get any children till he was very old actually. Sita, Kausalya Devi and Kaikeyi Devi and Sumitra Devi were quite elderly, and the only pain everybody had that Dasharath doesn't have a son. Such a wonderful king that we worship him, love him, adore him. He doesn't have a heir apparent to his kingdom. So they were all worried, and here much before in time Dasharath promised Jatayu that I will give my son to you. Many years passed. And we all know the story that finally Dasharath Maharaj decided that he will do Putra Kamishti Yagya. Putra Kama Ishta. That is one who, the activity which is done in the desire of having a son. Putra Kama means desire to have son. Ishta is the activity. So Vasishtha presided over the function, many, many rishis presided under his guidance, many yagyakundas were performed, raised, nice city like Yagyakunda, Yagyashala was performed, raised, and very beautifully many days over the yagya took place. And at the end of the yagya, all the demigods appeared to accept their share, ahuti. By the way, you should know the situation of demigods, in what condition they had come. Demigods are like you and me only, by the way. They also have their own troubles and difficulties and family difficulties and loka difficulties and planet difficulties. At that time, what difficulties they were in? They were totally harassed by Ravana. Ravan was such a powerful demon, although born of a Brahmin rishi called Vishrava. Was a great rishi, famous rishi. But somehow by the arrangement of the Lord, Ravan, Kumbhakarna were born and Vibhishan was born. And Vishrava had told his wife, those two sons, na, Ravan and Kumbhakarna, will be the cause of the destruction of Rakshasa race. But somehow this third son of yours will save whatever remnants of Rakshasas and somehow continue Rakshasa race. They will be disgrace and he'll be honor to your Vamsha. And they performed such tapasya that they asked so many boons from Ravan. Actually, Ravan was so heinous and so atrocious in his tapasya also that Brahma didn't get pleased and come to boon him, benedict him. Brahma was forced to come, "Bas abhi, if I don't come now, he will finish everybody." So sometimes Brahma comes to be happily benedict, you know. "Okay, Vatsa, what do you want? I want to give you something." Here he has come and said, "Arey Baba, why are you doing these things? Please tell me what you want. What is your problem?" That's how he came. And then he asked so many boons. "I don't want to get killed by demigods. I don't want to kill by any astra or shastra or this, that, this race, that race, this vamsha, that vamsha." But he said, "Human beings and animals, oh, they have a breakfast and lunch. Don't even care for them. Why should I ask a benediction for saving from them? I don't even consider them as worthy enough to be any danger to me." So human beings and animals, he didn't ask any boons. Rest everything he asked for everything. He almost became invincible. And Kumbhakarna, poor fellow, so much of tapasya he did. So the way Ravan asked boons and the way his mood was while asking the boons, not that ki with all these boons I will do welfare of every living entity in the world, I will serve everybody with all the powers that I have, I will care for everybody and make everybody happy. It was not the mood. So Brahma was quite alarmed the way he was asking. Now there was turn of Kumbhakarna. So Brahma said, "Saraswati, please do one favor to me. This fellow also going to be fully active. Now his turn is going to come." So you go and sit on his tongue and speak the way I want you to speak. So Kumbhakarna was waiting. He said, "I want Indrasan. I want to take a position of Indra." But Saraswati twisted his tongue. And what came out was, "I want Nidrasan." Nidra. So immediately Brahma said, "Tathastu." So Kumbhakarna was surprised. What is happening? Why I asked this kind of boon? So he understood the trick, but somehow it's already uttered, already granted. So he said, "At least give me a boon that once in a year I will wake up. Okay, 59 days you can sleep. And 60th day you can wake up and eat whatever you want, do whatever you want." So that's how somehow some atrocities of the world were curtailed there. Something was done, censor was there at least because of that. So this Ravan, as soon as he got the boon, just went and conquered everybody, threw everybody out, he chased them away, they became fearful, all demigods had to run away, their kingdoms and their thrones, they had to give up family, with family they ran away and hid in the caves. So much fear he had created. So when these demigods had come to accept the oblations of Dasharatha, they were in that situation. Can you imagine? Helpless, fearful situation. But they came for their duty to accept their oblations. So they saw Dasharatha is praying for son and they were accepting the oblations. So they said, "Oh Lord Vishnu, please save us. Our life is in danger. And look at Dasharatha, he's also begging for a son. Please come as son of Dasharatha." So Lord Vishnu appeared in the sky. The scene is only visible to devatas. On the ground, the Dasharatha and company is doing yagya. They are simply sitting in prayer. They don't know what's happening and they don't even see what is happening. So Vishnu and demigods, they converse for a long time. And finally Vishnu said, don't worry. Just be free from your fear. I will be coming very soon as son of Dasharath. And not only me, I will come in four forms. And alleviate all your miseries. And I know you demigods are very powerful. You can remain in one position, at the same time expand somewhere else also. So I have to order you. You remain in Devata Lokas, at the same time appear as monkeys in the material world, because this foolish Ravan has forgotten to ask boons about animals. So I will come as human being, because he also has forgotten to ask about human beings, the boon. So I will come as human beings with my expansions, and you all come in the monkey race and become very powerful and become very chivalrous, and I wait for me, I'll come down. And this scene ended. The demigod also departed from the arena of fire sacrifice. And suddenly, from the fire sacrifice, the main fire sacrifice, a golden personality appeared as effulgent and many suns. So beautiful and attractive, so effulgent and so pleasing to see, to behold. He had a great decorated, carved golden pot in his hand with the ambrosial celestial prasadam of the Lord. He raised from the fire, came down in front of Dasharath, but he remained few inches away from the ground. The demigods and the godly personalities don't touch the ground. They don't like this material world, by the way. They just come to do their duties and get lost outside. Like we go to toilet and don't remain there. We just do our business and get out. So that's how they considered earthly planets are as. So he remained above the earth and he spoke to Dasharath Maharaj that this is the prasad which is as a result of this yajna I'm offering to you. Please give it to your beloved wives and they will honor it very quickly and they will soon become pregnant with divine personalities and give birth and fulfill your desire and the purpose of the fire sacrifice that you conducted. So he departed, the yajna was over, he took his beautiful wives in his palace, and to his beloved eldest wife he gave half the pot of the prasadam, and the youngest wife Kaikeyi, he gave another half, and then both these queens divided half of their shares and gave it to Sumitra. So she got two halves of the house. That means she got actually how much she got? Half. She got half. And they remained with 1/4 and 1/4. Anyways, that technical division is not important. The Lord can appear in Anu also as full personality. So very soon after consuming that beautiful prasadam, Kausalya Devi and Kaikeyi Devi and Sumitra Devi, they felt tremendous joy within themselves. They felt that the whole root of the whole existence has taken shelter in our wombs. She felt that from within. There was so much happiness. There was enhancement of their beauty. Their effulgence also grew in millions of times that they were already effulgent as queens of Dasharath. And they became divinely powerful within themselves, spiritually. And they all felt that thing within themselves. So they understood their great fortune. The greatest of personalities were resting in their wombs. The same thing happened with Devaki also when she conceived of Balram and Krishna. The same thing happened with Rohini also when she conceived Balramji afterwards. Same thing happened with Sachi Mata also when she conceived Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sri Nimai. So this divine experience is, the Lord is already there within us. But still when Lord comes as this kind of way, it gives different experiences to the mothers that they are harboring Him in their abdomen. And very soon on the day of Chaitra, Shuddha Navami, in the very opportune, beautiful, auspicious time in the afternoon, Lord Ramchandra took birth. And very soon followed by Him, Kaikeyi gave birth to Bharat, and Sumitra gave birth to Lakshman and Shatrughna. And Ramayana explains how much joy these four children gave to the three mothers and father and other mothers who were there. Because Dasharatha had many, many queens also. Anyways, when Lord Ramchandra was born, everybody was celebrating. It was not like, you know, if today Rajiv Gandhi or Sonia Gandhi or some Rahul Gandhi gets a child, who cares? You will not make sweets in your house and put flowers on your doors and adore your house with lamps. Because they don't care for you. Why should you care for them? But when Lord Ram was born, Dasharatha gave birth to a son, the heir apparent, who's going to be king in the future of Ayodhya, the king of the world, the welfare, looking after welfare of everybody in the world. Everybody, every single house put lamps, distributed sweets from elephants. It's one simple, very beautiful custom in ancient Vedic times. Whenever a good thing happened, they will bring elephant, put somebody on elephant and distribute sweets to everybody. Distributing sweets from elephant is a very wonderful situation, you know. So every single person was doing that. They were decorating their house with nice colorful rangolis. They were throwing colorful and scented water in front of their houses to make the whole road scented. They put flowers on trees, they put lights on trees, they distributed sweets, they sang songs, they danced, they called musicians, they called Brahmins, they sang hymns. This was happening in every house in Ayodhya. Everybody was enjoying a festival of love and appreciation and gratitude to the Lord that finally our Lord has granted son to our dear king, Dasharatha. But at the same time, a big vulture came at the border of Ayodhya. It was like a mountain, white colored mountain whose head was dwelling in the clouds. Now, having a vulture on an auspicious occasion is not a good situation. You are enjoying, somebody's marriage is there, somebody's something, betrothal is there, and somebody, suddenly you see your owl or see your gidad. Immediately you will feel, what is inauspicious? Because they come only when death is imminent. They cannot be there, death is imminent, then they sense that and they gather before the death occurs to pounce on the dead bodies. So everyone was very surprised, why at this time, such an auspicious, opportune, beautiful, auspicious occasion, why a vulture has to come? And to add to their surprise and confusion, Dasharatha just went to Kausalya's inner chambers, greeted his wife. Wife was very happy. She was distributing jewels to all the dasis and whoever came around to meet her. She was so happy. He was so happy to have a son. At the same time, mysteriously, he picked up the child and went out of the house. Went out of the inner chambers of Sutika Gruha, went out of the palace, went out of the city. And everybody was wondering, why? Why Dasharatha is going? Why is not telling anything? Why is so serious? Why is taking the child away? What is his plan? They are all confused. So much happiness and so much confusion was there. He just straight went to the border of Ayodhya and met Jadayu. And said, here is my first son, as I promised you. You remember a similar story in Krishna Leela? Vasudeva promised Kamsa that save my wife, she is not danger to you. My eighth son is danger to you. Why eighth son? I'll give you every son to you. And that's how we manage the situation. Somehow managed and saved his wife. Even Kamsa was shocked when Kirtiman, the first son, was born. Vasudeva came and said, here my first son for you. Kamsa was shocked. What kind of virtue is this? What kind of behavior, anybody on earth can do this? Vasudeva, I admire you, I adore you for this quality. Go away, I don't have any fear from first son, take away your son. Even a demoniac personality was impressed by the purity and virtue of a devotee like Vasudev. Similarly, Dasharatha, his school is known that they will die, but they will not give up their world. Raghukul ki ye reet chali aayi, pran jai par vachan na jai. I will die for my word. If at all it requires, but I will not go behind my word, go back on my words. So though even Jatayu was very so happy and impressed with the gesture of Dasharatha Maharaj, he said, my dear Dasharatha, I love you as my friend. At the same time, I am a vulture, I am not trained in raising human children. Natural, no? He was a very honest person. He said, I don't have understanding how to raise such a beautiful human child that you have. So you take back your son, raise him as a beautiful grown-up young man, and then I will come to take him. I want a ready-made product. I don't want to work hard on that. So Dasharatha said, okay, fine. He's your son. Anytime you feel appropriate, you can take him as my word goes. So he took him back. And there comes Dasharatha back with his son again. And everybody is happy. Oh, he's coming back. So then he told everybody the story that I told you. What all happened and how he promised and everybody, and then he had to fulfill his word. That is why he had gone. Oh, sir, oh, what a relief, a sigh of relief. that somehow our Ram has come back. The Kula Deepak, the hope of Ayodhya has now come back. So this is the story of birth of Lord Ram, the way it took place. Everybody only hears Lord Ram's birth. Very beautiful story given in Ramayana by Valmiki Muni. But there was some other aspect also. See, what does it mean that devotees who are dedicated to the Lord, their life is not always very goody-goody. What was the life of Prajvasis? Now they are playing with coward boys, Krishna is playing with coward boys, having fun, suddenly a big demon comes. Not an ordinary demon to have play and fun with. Life-threatening situation. Now again they play with him, suddenly rains start coming. Torrential rains, pralaya rains, destroying everything. And again Krishna left Govardhan. So beautiful, so nice, 7 days and seven nights. Again he keeps it down, again Harishtasur comes. And again Keshi comes. And again Putana comes. And these are so many things happening. So peace may not be guaranteed always in bhakti. But ananda is always guaranteed in bhakti. So please don't look for peace, look for happiness. And by the way, happiness is a higher concept than peace. Peace is absence of miseries or anxieties. But happiness is positive, bliss is positive, ananda is positive. So we are not here to perform bhakti so that shanti milegi. No, shanti is a very cheap bargain. We don't want to have settlement on shanti. We want to have spiritual bliss. And that, in spite of your miserable externally or happy externally, it is guaranteed in bhakti. Otherwise, Brijvasis would have retired, no? Putana came, so they retired now. We don't want to be with you anymore. Bus ho gaya. We thought you are a beautiful child, but some guys are coming to kill you. And at the same time, we are also troubled. So we all retire from here, we'll go out of Mathura. You live with your mother, father, and be happy here. No, they didn't leave him. They were left him. In fact, he left them. But they always were stuck to him. If there was no spiritual pleasures and bliss and experiences of service to him, why they will continue with him? So they were not looking for peace. They were looking for bliss and happiness and service. And in service, they were looking for bliss with them. So in the great happiness of Lord Ramchandra's appearance and celebrations, there were some tests for them also. They had to wait till they got the answer why he went away. And then they were raised as beautiful children. And very uniquely, it was always seen that Lakshman was always stuck to Lord Ram and Shatrughna always was stuck to Bharat in great love and service. They would eat together, they would sleep together, they would play together, they would not go without one another, out anywhere, to play or to hunt or anything, to learn also, to serve mother and father also. So naturally made pairs, you know. And then Lord Ramchandra's virtue was such that even as a child, as an elder son, he was always caring for his younger brothers. But they will always fight. In playful situation, they will fight. How they will do? They all will shoot arrows to the fruiting trees. And the trees, mangoes and bananas and some other fruits were hanging, and they would shoot the arrow and make the flower flow, fruit fall down. And then whose arrow is stuck to which fruit? That will be your fruit. And many times, two arrows would be there in one fruit. Somehow, everybody is aiming. So, Ram's arrow, Lakshman's arrow, and Bharat's arrow, or his arrow, all will be there, and they will be fighting over that. And Lord Ram would say, whenever his arrow would be there, he would remove his arrow and give the fruits to others. He always wanted unity. And from beginning of his childhood, he was doing sacrifice. To maintain unity and love and relationship, he would always do sacrifice for his side. He never took the fruit as a child. He was also a child. But he always would want his brothers to remain together in love and friendship. So many stories are there about the way he conducted in his childhood also. As a student of Valmiki Muni, a student of Vasishtha Muni in Gurukul also was the most ideal student. He was always sober, calm, well-spoken, soft-spoken, respectful, very selfless service he would do to his guru. And he was an ideal student for every other student also, including his brothers. As a child also, the brothers would respect him, like fatherly figure, although he was his brother. Because he conducted himself in such a way, from very childhood, that he was a source of inspiration and joy to observe and to follow. He grew up 12 years of old age. We have 15 minutes more. And at that time, everybody really enjoyed their childhood and the virtuous nature of the children, and the way kinsmen and Ayodhya Vasis loved them as their life and soul. They would love them more than their own life, these four brothers. And all of them enjoyed and really relished the growing up these children with so much of wonderful qualities and virtues. And at 12 years of age, Vishwamitra Muni came to visit Ayodhya. As Vishwamitra Muni, I'll give a brief history of Vishwamitra. He was a Kshatriya king, sometime had a tussle with Vasishtha, who was already a Brahmarishi that time, and became very envious of Vasishtha and gave up his kingdom and kingmanship and became a mendicant and performed tapasya for thousands of years. And Menaka came and destroyed his tapasya, again he went for tapasya and finally attained Brahmarishi position. And he became a genuine, non-competitive Brahmarishi when he became Brahmarishi. He was first a competitive nature Rishi to compare with his rival, so-called his rival, not Vasishtha considered him as rival. But finally he actually attained the real humble position of an elevated Brahmarishi. So as a Brahmarishi he came. He didn't come as a king Vishwamitra. When he came to Ayodhya, he was a Brahmarishi, friend of Vasishtha. And they respected him, worshipped him, cared for him, served him, and then they asked, Maharaji, what is the purpose of coming? How can I serve you? Vasishtha, Vishwamitra said that, we are performing sacrifices in the forest. And our sacrifices are for meant for the welfare of the whole universe and whole creation. And all the living beings in that, including demigods. But our fire sacrifices are constantly disturbed by the demons in the forest. They are headed by Ravan, and they are all followers of Ravan, and they are destroying our culmination of the fire sacrifice. Whenever it comes to end, they all come and they throw urine and stool in storms, and they do all nonsense activities, they destroy, they dance and do all heinous activities which contaminate our fire sacrifices, and thus everything is destroyed. Now Vishwamitra Muni, as a king, had so much of powers. As a Brahmarishi, he gained many more powers which are subtle in nature and brahmanical in nature. He could have uttered a mantra and destroyed all the demons. But he thought, I'm a Rishi, I'm a Brahmin, it's not my duty to kill demons. A Kshatriya should do it. My duty is to chant mantras and do welfare for the world. That is why I have come to you. So Dasharatha, out of Vatsalya, he said, no, my Maharaj, no, I cannot do this. My child is very tender, his limbs are very tender. Still he is learning to lift swords and bows and arrows. He has not yet learned the martial arts so nicely. Although Lord Ram had perfected his martial arts and Vidya, 18 Vidyas he had perfected by that time. But you know, as the father's love goes, he always considered his child as a child only. Plus Vishwamitra is telling him to send him for a purpose which is very difficult purpose. So he said, Vishwamitra Muni, why you worry? I will come with my own army to you. My army is indefatigable by even demigods. I have protested Shani Maharaj to enter in my kingdom. That army and my own self will come, accompany you and take care of all the demons. Still Vishwamitra Muni said, I want your two sons. I want only Ram to come with me. He said, no. You can take Ram, but take me also with you. He was crying tears. He was falling at the feet of Vishwamitra. He couldn't even bear the thought of separation from Lord Ram for a moment also. He was really crying. First he was standing and offering pranams with folded hands and crying. Then he kneeled down. Then he fell on the ground. Then he clasped his feet and shed his tears on his lotus feet of Vishwamitra Muni, crying, begging, please spare my child. I will give my life for you. Vishwamitra says, you asked me, how may I please you? And you will say, I will lay my life to please you. Please order me. And now you are going back on your words. Okay, fine. You're not willing to fulfill your words. I'm not interested. I'll go back the same way I came from. This was very serious. Immediately Vasishtha intervened. Vasishtha is a purohit of Dasharath Maharaj. He has to look after welfare because now my king is going on the wrong path. So in front of Vishwamitra Muni, he came and told him, King Dasharath, you have given a word. You cannot back out from your words. You are inviting the rage of a sadhu, and soon curse will follow and you will have destruction just because of your sentimental attachments. You have to be attached to your words that you have promised to the sadhu. So still, Dasharatha is looking, hearing for 1 year from Vasishtha Muni and looking at his son and still crying. Because, he cannot reconcile two things. One instruction and the sight of his son. His vatsalya is overwhelming him in front of the instruction of his guru. So Vasishtha understood that he is not going to listen like this. So he took him aside. And by the way, he told him, do you know who your son is? He is Supreme God Himself, Vishnu, incarnate in your family. You may consider as your son, but He is Supreme Lord. He is not going to be harmed by any demon on the earth. So he felt very convinced. He got convinced. He looked at his son. Again he felt no. Even the truth, the truthful knowledge of the existence and the personality of Godhead, Sri Ramchandra, even that could not budge him. Such was his vatsalya on Lord Ram. It is explained in Ramayana that he heard his guru in one corner, seclusion, and looked at his son. Again he melted, again he cried. He said, no, I just cannot do this. But then still Vasishtha convinced him that for you and for your kingdom and for your children, the wrath of your sadhu is not good. So with stone-like heavy heart, he accepted. And immediately Lakshman came running. He said, I will go with my brother. Dasharatha said, oh, yes, yes. Better two than one. At least one is supporting other. He'll save him or take care of him. And instantly Lord Ramchandra sat behind Vishwamitra Muni and went to the forest. At that time they were like princes. They were like prince. They were dressed in silken cloths and they were adorned with beautiful bow and arrow, which was bedecked with all jewels. And they were with jewels and they were with pearls. They were looking like millions of suns, effulgent like suns, walking with Dasharatha, Vishwamitra Muni. And soon they came to one forest. It was very, wrong vibrations. The very inauspicious kind of feelings came in Ram's heart. So he asked Vishwamitra Muni, what is this place? This looks so ghastly actually. So he said, this is the area of the demoness Tadaka. Anyway, we will not go into her glories right now. She was very powerful. All the demigods were scared of her. And she was so big and so expansive that even mere look of hers would terrorize people. So Lord Ram said, I want to see her. So what he did, he took out his bow and he pulled a pratyancha and twanged it so nicely that the whole earth shook like an earthquake. And the sound was so tumultuous that all the birds flew. All the wild animals ran out of their caves, out of fear. Elephants and tigers and lions, they just left their caves in fear. And so, also, Tadaka came out of her hermitage, whatever her place was. She was wondering, who can dare to twang his bow in my area? And she appeared, making big garjana. That garjana also revolved in the vibration, in the atmosphere for a long time. Lord Ram said, Lakshman, see her. Even looking at her is so ghastly. Looking at her also is creating so much fear in the heart of living entities. Vishwamitra said, you have to kill her. He said, what? She's a woman. This is my first venture in life. I don't want to venture. Same problem was there with Krishna also. The first venture, who was there? Putana. He said, Hare. So he closed his eyes, and sucked her breast. But he had difficulty. He said, I don't want to kill a woman in the first encounter of my life. Vishwamitra said, don't go on this bodily platform. She is a demoness in the demon body, but she is a demon by nature. She is very destructive. As a kshatriya, you have to punish her. So he said to his brother, no, I will kill her arms and legs and make her invalid, And did that in the war, because immediately war began with them. And she was hurling mountains and stones and trees and whatnot, ghastly items like stool and urine, or showering on them. And Lord Ram was shooting arrows and making powder of all the stones and pebbles and bolsters that he was sending. Mountainous peak would come and Lord Ram would shoot an arrow and it will fall as powder on the ground. That kind of power the arrows of Lord Ram had. And then, with hands and legs cut, she was still attacking. But she was so powerful. She would disappear and appear in front and behind. And sometimes come as animal, sometimes come as a bird, sometimes come as a vulture, sometimes come as this and that, and somehow harass them. So Lord Lakshman took his bow and arrow and very expertly cut her nose and ears, like he cut off Shurpanakha later, very expertly. And she became very insulted because her nose and ears were cut. So she became more aggressive. Vishwamitra said, don't waste time anymore. This is too destructive a demon is. So then finally, reluctantly, Lord Ramchandra took a weapon and hit her, and it struck her chest, and she fell on the ground like a big mountain, causing earthquake. Immediately demigods showered flowers. Because they anyway out of their kingdom, anyway out of their throne, no work to do. With flowers they are ready to stand, ready there, standing. Oh, victory, victory, jai, jai, through flowers, pushpa vrishti. And they went ahead. I'll tell you in short, then they went ahead, they crossed Shon River. After that, everything was peaceful there, so they went ahead. And during travelling from Shon River, they asked about Ganga to Vishwamitra. And that's how the whole Ganga story comes in Ramayana. Vishwamitra Muni is narrating how Ganga appeared to Rama and Lakshman, and two students of Vishwamitra listened very carefully the glories of appearance of Ganga Devi. That's there in Ramayana. Then they crossed Shon River and they come to a very beautiful area. Lord Ramchandra asked, this place is so auspicious, it's so beautiful. Vishwamitra said, see how Vishwamitra is so humble. He could have straightway said, this is my home. First he said what? This is Tadaka's home, very inauspicious. Now he's asking, this is very auspicious, very pleasing to the heart. He could have said, yes sir, this is my house. He didn't say that. He said, this is the place where Mahabali, the Bali Maharaj, performed a yajna. And this is the place Vamandev appeared. And this is the place after subduing Bali Maharaj, Vamandev stayed for a long time. And because of his presence, this place has become very auspicious. And by the way, I also live here. See, we are always eager to tell our glories to others, you know. You go to an unknown area, you will first tell, I am a doctor, I am a director, I am a trustee, I am this, I am that, so many things I will tell. Because I cannot be remaining inconspicuous in a corner without an identification of others. And here there was an opportunity, a question was asked to him, whose place is this? But he told in such an indirect way, and by the way, I also live here. This is my place, and my students are also here. So Lord Ram was very happy to come to the home of Vishwamitra. That is called as Kushadham, where he lived. And then next morning, they woke up, they slept, and all the rishis served them kandamool and fruits and everything. They slept overnight and woke up in the morning. And the rishi assistants of Vishwamitra said, okay, now you please observe a vow of silence, and our guru Vishwamitra Muni is going to give you great gifts. By the way, I forgot one thing to tell you. When Vasishtha was trying to convince Dasharatha Maharaj to let Ram go, he said, you don't understand. You are simply overwhelmed with vatsalya of love for your son. But by sending this, your son with Vishwamitra, your son will be receiving great, great gifts, celestial gifts, which you don't know now. In the guise of killing demons, he has come to award your son great gifts. So don't be miserly. Send him. Actually, Vishwamitra wanted to pass on to Lord Ramchandra all the celestial weapons and vidyas that he had. So next morning, for 7 full days onwards, Vishwamitra Muni transferred all the divyastras to Lord Ramchandra. And the ceremony of transferring the weapons was so beautiful that each and every devata which presided over those weapons, they personally, as an honor, came down to offer themselves to Lord Ram. When Vishwamitra would chant a mantra, the particular demigod of the Astra would come. For example, from Brahmastra, Lord Brahma personally came. And in the presence of Brahma and Vishwamitra, Brahmastra was accepted by Lord Ram. Then Vayu came with Vayuvyastra. Then that mantra was chanted. Agni came for Agniastra. And Varun came with Varunastra, Varun Pash. And Devi came with Bhadrakali came with sword, and Chandra came with Niharika Astra, and so many Astras were brought by, Shiva came with Pashupata Astra. All the Astras were brought by, personally by the demigods. And the demigods did not want to leave the company of Lord Ram. In the name of giving the weapon they had come, they didn't want to go, they wanted to stay there only. They said, my Lord, we can't give up your company, we want to stay with you. We are so fortunate to serve you like this. So Lord Ram said, for now you go. Whenever I remember you, please appear in my heart. Whenever I invoke that astra, that way you will be remaining with me. Whenever I will invoke the astra, you will be having my association. And then they all went away. After that, the Rishi Muni were very happy to having bestowed upon all the weapons Lord Ram and Lakshman. Then he said, now again Rishi will go in silence and perform the sacrifice. And 7 days the sacrifice went on. I am going cutting the story down. At the end of 7th day, suddenly hail storms, dust storm, and stool and urine storm, and horrible sounds and inauspiciousness arose everywhere, and everything appeared to be destroyed. At that time Vishwamitra said, Ram and Lakshman, time has come. These demons are going to appear to disturb us now. So who appeared? The sons of Tadaka, who were enraged, they appeared there. Their name was Subahu and Maricha. Anyway, the war and description is very detailed and beautiful, but suffice to say, Lord Ramchandra took Manava Astra, presided by Manu, the father of mankind. His Astra he took out and he hit Marich demon. Now what happened was, as soon as this Astra was thrown to Marich, Marich flew in the sky for 800 miles from that area and fell in the ocean unconscious for 6 months. And when he woke up, he took retirement for demonic activities. He said, "Bas, that's it. By the word Ra, forget about Rama. By the syllable Ra, he was trembling always with fear of death. He couldn't forget the experience of getting hit by an arrow of Astra, which threw him 800 miles in the ocean, kept him unconscious for 6 months. What kind of weapon is that? And Marich also, when Ravan came to take him away for becoming a deer, to cheat and steal Sita, he said, my dear brother, my dear Tat, my dear uncle, you do not know that when he hit me this arrow, which threw me 800 miles in the ocean and put me unconscious for 6 months, he was only 12 year old, now he is 24 year old. So don't forget that. As a child, he had hit me, and this is my condition. It made me retire from my activities. He actually became sannyasi. He left all the activities. He just said, I will just meditate now. No more chance for me to be successful as a demon anymore. And you are telling me again to go in front of that person. Please, you wake up and give up this temptation of Sita to avoid destruction of Rakshasa race. He gave him good counseling, you know. But he didn't listen to him. And then Subahu's turn came. And Subahu was destroyed into pieces by Agni Astra, by Lord Ram. And thus, the yajna became successful, and Vishwamitra became very happy with Lord Ram and Krishna, Lord Ram and Sita. And then, Vishwamitra took him to Mithila Nagari. Actually, this was a divine plan of Vishwamitra. He wanted the divine consort, the Supreme Lakshmi, born in Mithila, as Sita Devi to Janak Maharaj, to be married to Lord Ramchandra. So after Tadaka was killed, Subahu and Marich was thrown away, and Subahu was killed, he took them to Mithila. And time has ended, so I will not tell the story of Sitaram Swayamvar. You call me again, I will tell you how Sita and Ram beautifully got married together. Such a beautiful description is there. So, Prabhu Ramchandra Bhagavan ki jai. Our goal of life is to simply hear, absorb ourselves, purify ourselves by hearing Lord Ram's beautiful pastimes, and develop attraction for him, love for him, chant his holy name, and thus celebrate his appearance day. Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.